Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. With his My Brother's Keeper initiative, President Obama says he wants us not to forget, not to treat as inevitable or just cultural backdrop, the plight of so many of America's young men of color. Karen Freeman Wilson can't forget. She's mayor of Gary, Indiana, 85% black, 40% poverty, 55% among Gary's youth. And it's her job to lead Gary, to lift it and its young men. This hour on Point, the mayor of Gary, on the challenge she says brings her to her knees some days. Gary, Indiana Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson joins us in a moment. Right now with me from Boston is Andrew Wolk. He's CEO of Root Cause. It's a consulting firm, works with nonprofits on all kinds of issues, leading with Policy Link, the Institute for Black Male Achievement, working with leaders behind President Obama's My Brother's Keeper initiative. Andrew Wolk, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Tom, for having me. I really appreciate it.
So here was the president last week. It was quite a striking scene in the White House. Lots of young men of color, lots of young black men standing alongside and around the president as he made this call. He said there's $200 million, as he announced the initiative last Thursday, that from private donors, foundations that has stepped up to help. Is that number expected to grow, Andrew?
Well, you know, Tom, you know, the real story behind My Brother's Keeper is that not only is that number expected to grow, but it's actually already been growing. And what the president's announcement really did is bring to the forefront an issue that a lot of leaders in foundations and in initiatives across the country have been working on. He also said that that was on top of already another $150 million, which is being invested right now. So there are major initiatives already going on in the country. The California Endowment has an initiative called Sons and Brothers to drive improvement of life outcomes for boys and men of color across the state. Robert Wood Johnson had already had an initiative called Forward Promise that it had been working on. Open Society Foundations had already had a campaign for black male achievement. And this is really just bringing this issue to national attention to leverage the many initiatives and dollars already invested.
$200 million or $300 or $400 can seem like a lot, and it can seem like very little when you look at the scale of the problem. The president last week looking to draw attention here, saying that, look, when these problems go on generation after generation, we have to pay attention. Here's the president.
The plain fact is there are some Americans who in the aggregate are consistently doing worse in our society. Groups that have had the odds stacked against them in unique ways that require unique solutions. Groups who've seen fewer opportunities that have spanned generations.
Andrew Wolk, there's the president last week announcing My Brother's Keeper. We're going to hear in just a moment from Karen Freeman Wilson. She's mayor of Gary, Indiana. She has problems at that city scale. And I wonder, what difference do you think a program like the president's can make? It's about encouraging. It's about giving positive messages. But when you're thinking about, you know, jobs and roads and factories and airports and factories that are gone, does My Brother's Keeper make a difference, Andrew?
I think that My Brother's Keeper makes two major differences. One is calling attention to an issue that I think too often is either not spoken about or completely forgotten. And raising the national attention like this is going to support mayors, not only in Gary, Indiana, but in many of the cities where their large populations are with boys and men of color, into a fact that if we do not figure out how to improve their life outcomes, those cities are going to have a difficult time revitalizing themselves. And then secondly is, as the president has talked about since he started his first term, we know so much about the many programs that can work, and we just need the will and the discipline to focus more on the ones that are working right now. So I do think it really can make a difference, but I think it needs to go from the national level of attention down to this place-based strategies where mayors can across the country focus on this.
We're going to go place-based right now. Andrew Wolk, CEO of Root Cause, thank you for joining us for a few minutes here.
Oh, my pleasure, Tom, and thank you, and I'm really appreciative for you to bring this to the forefront.
Joining us now from Chicago is Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson, born and raised in Gary, Indiana, daughter of a steelworker from the time before so many of those jobs went away, went to Harvard, Harvard Law School, and came back, was Indiana's Attorney General, was elected mayor of Gary in 2012. Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Hi. Does it make a difference when the president calls out with a new program like this, My Brother's Keeper?
It absolutely makes a difference, Tom. What it does is it gives us the fuel that we need to go to local businesses, local organizations, to come together, to encourage them to come together and take up this mantle that the president has set forward, and to really make a difference in tangible ways in our communities.
But here I am, I'm looking at the challenges that you're up against. I mean, you're in a city that went from, what, 100 and almost 80,000 residents at its peak when the steel mill was big and healthy. Your dad, I guess, was working there. Now you're at 80,000 or even below, and we know, we've known for decades the problems Gary's up against. And I wonder if you can jawbone a city like Gary back to life.
Absolutely. You know, one of the ways that we can do it is by facing the challenges or addressing the challenges that face African-American males. I mean, the unemployment rate in Gary is listed at somewhere between 14% and 15%. Mm-hmm. But when you look at that unemployment rate among African-American men between the ages of 18 and 30, it even doubles or triples, particularly when you take into account many of them never even started looking for jobs.
Double or triple, so, that means we're up at 30% or 40 or more percent.
Easily. And so when you began to focus and hone in on the barriers that exist for that population, then it inevitably impacts in a positive way the progress that you make in a city like ours among in the jobs area and in so doing in the other areas, because so much is tied to economic achievement. So if people have jobs, then they are able to invest in homes. If they are able to invest in homes, then improves your property tax base. So all of that is related.
The president wanted to relate to these young men himself, to relate his youth to theirs. It was like and unlike theirs, he said at the White House last week.
I can see myself in these young men. And the only difference is that I grew up in an environment that was a little bit more forgiving. So when I made a mistake, the consequences were not as severe. I had people who encouraged me, not just my mom and grandparents, but wonderful teachers and community leaders.
He sees himself in those young men surrounding him in the White House, Gary Mayer, Karen Freeman Wilson. But he grew up in an environment there in Hawaii in a really prestigious private school that was more forgiving. We're going to look at the opportunity that you have become well-known for trying to take up, to push in Gary, Indiana. But what about the unforgiving environment that young men in your city are up against? What are they facing, Mayor?
Certainly, they are facing the hard reality of the streets. And to the extent that there are some times when young men make difficult or bad decisions, poor decisions, and those poor decisions in the instance of Gary, if you are with the wrong person or if you're in the wrong place, then that can result in jail. That can result in your death. And to the extent that the president compared himself to those young men, he is absolutely right about the unforgiving nature. Recently, there was a young man who was on house arrest. Mm-hmm. He made a bad decision. He left home, even though he knew he was supposed to be there. And ultimately, he ended up being shot and killed. So those are the types of differences I think that the president wanted to highlight in our job. And one of the reasons that we've come up with an initiative to really look at sort of the most egregious offenders and those individuals who are on probation and parole to say to them, we want to catch you doing right and give you the tools that you need to do the right things, but also we're going to pay very close attention to you while you're on probation and parole in the event that you are caught doing wrong things.
We want to look at exactly how you'll do that. He was on house arrest, went out, got shot, he's dead. You went home. You didn't have to. Harvard Law School, you could be on Park Avenue. But you're in Gary as mayor. Why did you do it, Mayor?
Well, in many instances, I'm sort of like Dorothy from Oz. There really is no place like home. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, those of us who have had an opportunity to get education, to have experiences that would benefit our community, have a responsibility, I believe, to come home. And I'm not alone. Our airport director, our director of public works, our director of communications, all of those individuals, in fact, an overwhelming majority, our interim chief of staff, the overwhelming majority of those individuals have come back from very lucrative jobs in other communities, in the private sector, and decided to use their talent in the city of Gary. And, you know, that is how we are able, that's how we will be able to turn the city around.
Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson of Gary, Indiana, is with us. Mayor, we're so glad to have you with us. Please stand by there in Chicago. Just 40 minutes from Chicago. A world of troubles, but she is trying. Maybe in the spirit of the President's My Brother's Keeper program, we're going to pop the hood in this hour and look at what it really takes to be mayor of a city like Gary, up against all those issues, looking to help young men of color in that city, and much more. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with the mayor of Gary, Indiana, Karen Freeman Wilson, about trying to lift a city, her city, and the president's My Brother's Keeper push to help young men of color. Here's the president at the White House last week, surrounded by young black men, saying, hey, my youth, I understand a lot of what they're up against. Here he was.
When I was their age, I was a lot like them. I didn't have a dad in the house. And I was angry about it, even though I didn't necessarily realize it at the time. I made bad choices. I got high without always thinking about the harm that it could do. I didn't always take school as seriously as I should have. I made excuses. Sometimes I sold myself short.
The president got personal, and he said to the young men there and across the country, you've got to push back against the past, the statistics.
You will have to reject the cynicism that says the circumstances of your birth or society's lingering injustices necessarily define you and your future. It will take courage, but you will have to tune out the naysayers who say that the deck is stacked against you. You might as well just give up or settle into the stereotype.
Karen Freeman Wilson works against it every day as mayor of Gary, Indiana. Last month, she stood before a sold-out city center there, the Genesis Center, 6,000 there for her State of the City address. And before that was over, she told the audience, Madam Mayor, you told the audience that there are days when you literally are brought to your knees by this job and the difficulty of it. They can probably understand why. You tell us.
You know, certainly when you have a confluence of a declining tax base, of a declining population, of all of the challenges that come with historical industrial cities, that can sometimes be daunting. And certainly if I had to do it by myself, it would be a task that would be very formidable and one that I might not be able to accomplish. The good news is that I do have a team, and the good news is that we have so many assets, so many built-in assets, our transportation assets, the fact that we are 35 miles from the third largest city in the United States, the fact that we sit on a beautiful lakefront, one that has been used for industrial use, but one is that we are also developing for residential and recreational use. All of those assets make what seems to be a job that can't be done a job that is doable with a plan and with a team.
Mayor, give us the thumbnail history to help us understand what happened here. I mean, this was a remarkable place. 1906, U.S. Steel, what was looking for a place to build a giant steel plant, and they did it in Gary, sort of a greenfield production center there, became the flagship operation. They named the town after the chairman of U.S. Steel. It grew so fast they called it Magic City. Gary, Indiana, the Music Man song, it's all, you know, everything's coming up roses. The Jacksons, Jackson 5, those, the family spent time in Gary. When did it begin to tip the other way? What happened?
Really in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, as the steel industry began to see competition, as the steel industry started to do things in a different way, Gary went from having 25,000 people employed at U.S. Steel to less than 5,000 people right now, 4,500. And that's still a lot for a steel plant, but certainly to see that reduction in the employment certainly fueled a reduction in population in the city of Gary. It also fueled an economic decline in the city of Gary, because not only did you have U.S. Steel, you had all of the related industry, those industries that were manufacturing cans,
mm-hmm. sure.
manufacturing auto parts. And so that had a large role in the decline of Gary. And then you had the impact of white flight at the same time. You saw Richard Hatcher, who was elected mayor, the first African-American mayor of a major city. And there were people who were just afraid of the fact that he was elected. And certainly he was a very strong mayor. He was one who promoted African-American political power, economic power, and to the extent that people thought that it meant to the exclusion of other residents of Gary, they decided that they would leave as well. And then there was a movement in the state legislature that was unseen in all of Indiana, and that was to allow another town to incorporate within a two-mile buffer zone that had been created for all of the other cities within 2 miles of a second-class city. And so Merrillville was founded. So not only did you have white flight, but you had an opportunity to create another town adjacent, right next door to
sort
Gary.
Sort of cutting in on Gary's turf.
Absolutely.
When you became mayor, Chicago Magazine came down and looked at the city, and you knew what you were walking into. It was the murder capital of the nation for several years running, in the 90s, the 2000s. Even by 2011, murder rate down, but still three times Chicago, seven times New York City's. They said no big box stores, no movie houses, no downtown hotels. You've got one big abandoned Sheraton. I know you're still trying to tear down. You see it every time you come out of City Hall. There, city so strapped it had to close the main branch of the public library. I mean, I'm full of admiration for you walking in there to do the job, but the climb looks so steep, Mayor.
Well, the good news is that we're making progress every day as we speak. The asbestos remediation has started with the Sheraton. It will be down by the end of 2014.
That 12-story long empty hotel right in the center of the city, you're going to get it down. Get it cleared out.
It's coming down. Mm-hmm. It is on its way down. In addition mm-hmm. to that, we just closed a major deal at the airport. In fact, the only public-private partnership to be consummated in the U.S. in 2013, where we have major developers, major investors coming into the Gary Chicago International Airport to not only develop on the airport, but its footprint. We have a hangar that is almost complete at the airport, and we have a number of development deals underway in the footprint of the airport. We just had someone to purchase the 100-year-old Gary State Bank building downtown, another downtown anchor. They're going to redevelop that building so that we can have businesses right downtown. And we also have a great partnership with the U.S. Department of Environmental Protection Agency, as well as the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, and the EPA, where we're doing a north side development that focuses on our lakefront, that focuses on the downtown area and that focuses on the area, the Horseman, historic Horseman district near our hospital. So there's a lot of progress, not to mention a $45 million building being erected by Indiana University as a part of our University Park initiative.
Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson looking to get Gary, Indiana on the move. And of course, when you're mayor, that means development deals. And it also means, you know, dealing with your citizens, your people's hopes and dreams and despair after a whole lot of tough years. Mayor Freeman Wilson, please stand by. We're talking about President Obama's My Brother's Keeper push through the eyes and challenge of one very talented mayor in Gary, Indiana. We've got callers for you, Madam Mayor. Montanez is calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Montanez, you're on the air with Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Mayor Wilson. I'm a father of two black men, and my heart goes out to you for having the daunting task of trying to lead a city of black men who feel excluded from the process. My only question is, with the money that is being offered by the president's plan, if we're not creating the necessary employment, which is the root of the issue for a lot of these young men, then how are we really going to reverse the situation and the defeatedness that these young men feel on a daily basis? I just don't understand how just creating programs and trying to reinforce and reinstill in these men when they don't have the necessary ability to be able to bring food into their household. That is the issue, and I don't envy you, ma'am. My heart goes out to Gary, Indiana, and every city alike, but I just want to know, how can we really challenge ourselves to be better and do more as a people?
Montanez, I so appreciate your call. Mayor, what about it? There's talk and there's jobs, and Montanez is a little uncertain about how far talk will take you.
Well, I believe that the point of the discussion, the point of the talk, is to inspire those in local industry and in private industry to create the jobs. I agree with Montanez. You can do only so much with creating an attitude, with creating the hope, with creating the aspirations among these young men. But in order to really see those aspirations come to life and really translate into reality, you need the jobs. And the only way that jobs will come is through job training programs, through partnership with local providers. And, you know, we're really pleased. One of our local partners is the Northern Indiana Public Service Company, NIPSCO. And early on in our administration, they wanted to create a new day, new jobs program to get young men into the building trades, to get young men into jobs with NIPSCO. There are other companies in our city that have come to us and that we've gone to that we have been willing to partner in the same way. But I agree with him. At the bottom of all of this is the opportunity to lift oneself up out of their economic status or economic means in a legal way. And that comes through jobs, that comes through education, that comes through training.
And keep hope up while you do that. Imran in Westboro, Massachusetts, you're on with Mayor Freeman Wilson.
I just wanted to say that the one thing that I think is often taken for granted, especially among those of us who are affluent or have been successful, is that the power of business networks. And I think that that's the one thing that really needs to be focused on with the underprivileged and people who don't have the same opportunities, is the willingness to create business networks and get people introduced to others who are in a position to hire, are also in a position to mentor. Because it's one thing to say, you know, you have to have programs, but the one thing that I've seen in my years of business is that everything is really done through networks, and you have to create a system of pull through the system in order to bring people up. And somebody has to take a risk on other people to say, I'm willing to vouch for this person.
But Imran, how strong can that be? I mean, you and everybody else knows that Gary's been a tough nut to crack for a long time. There's a reputation there. People's lives are bound up in it. So I don't mean that in a hard way, but it's a tough environment. Will a network bring the jobs in, you know, talking to people, moral suasion? Will that do it, Imran?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for Gary Indiana, but I can say that I've seen firsthand. I used to work for a trade association, and
yep.
Part of what we used to do was really try to bring people up through networks, and it does work. I think that you'll find that the combination of having networks that you can rely on, as well as mentoring programs to kind of teach people a little bit about the insides of a job, goes a long way.
Yeah, Imran, I appreciate your call. Mayor Freeman Wilson, how about it? I mean, do people sit down and look across the table at you and say, we want to help Gary, Indiana? Or do they sit down and say, what can you do for our bottom line, Madam Mayor?
Absolutely, and Imran's absolutely right. There is such a value in the creation of networks, and one of the best ways you can do that is through the through mentoring programs. And one of the things that we had actually started even before learning of the president's initiatives is to bring all of our programs together that have a mentoring component for young African-American men. And that was really at the behest of Eddie Melton, who is out of private industry, and Vanessa Allen, who is out of our Urban League. And to say to all of these programs, we are going to go into the community and recruit a basic number of mentors to join with us and to work with young African-American men. And that helps you in your decision-making, that helps you in your career planning, that helps you in your planning for education, that helps mentors help also in some of the challenges that these young men face to help them sort through some of the family challenges, some of the other challenges that they may have at school and in other places in the community to just help them make all around better choices.
Glenn in Marion, Ohio. Glenn, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
All right. I'm concerned about the disturbing trend towards lack of investment in communities of color, laws that were passed to eliminate affirmative action. That was a very important program. That's why the number of people of color are higher levels of unemployment in our communities. And that's one of the reasons, the legal reason that affirmative action was done away with. And this is a disturbing trend.
What's holding up investment, Glenn? Why isn't it there?
Fear has a great deal to do with it. The white flight issue, those kinds of things. The unwillingness to want to allow immigration or people of other races to prosper. It seems to be a trend toward the dollars. If you look at neighborhoods and communities, you'll look at one side of the neighborhood is fully invested. Money is flowing into those areas. But in other areas, it's just the opposite. The streets are dirty. There's no street lights. Sidewalks are unrepaired, and so I just see a disparity between the two.
Yeah, Glenn, we've got it. I think it's pretty clear. Madam Mayor, what about it? Have you found yourself up against fear in trying to restart Gary?
You know, I think that's really where leadership and political will comes in, Tom. I think it's important to sit down with potential new investors in the city, those who want to expand existing businesses in the city, and really explain to them what our plan of rebirth is, what our plan of action is. And it has to involve the introduction of opportunity to those individuals who are in the city who are unemployed. And the issue is, how do you become a partner? And so, as an example, to use our airport project, we decided that we were going to create goals for local participation, for minority investment, for local employment, and for job training. And that will make a difference.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with the mayor of Gary, Indiana, Karen Freeman Wilson, about trying to lift a city and the president's My Brother's Keeper push to help young men of color. The president's saying, let's not just accept this as the way things are, as inevitable, as a cultural backdrop that we just get used to. He also said, look, no one's going to do it for you. Nothing will be given to you, he told young men gathered with him at the White House.
Addressing these issues will have to be a two-way bargain, because no matter how much the community chips in, it's ultimately going to be up to these young men and all the young men who are out there to step up and seize responsibility for their own life.
Karen Freeman Wilson is right there in Gary working on the challenge. Can I ask you about a couple of programs that you've got going? One is this house for a dollar, the $1 house. What, if somebody would take a house, fix it up within 6 months, they could have it for $1. You were hoping to sell 50 houses a year that way. I think a third of the houses in Gary are unoccupied, Mayor Freeman Wilson. How's that going?
Actually, it's going really well. We had our first year, or the pilot, if you will, of the Dollar House program, and there were a number of extremely happy families who are working on their houses as we speak. And right now, our number is at 25% of the houses in Gary are abandoned. And the Dollar House program is just one strategy to stabilize neighborhoods, to increase people, encourage people to come back to the city to invest in the tax base. The other ways that we're doing it is really encouraging, partnering with local entities, private entities who want to do rehabilitation work, who want to buy up a number of houses. Some of them are buying them up and renting them. Some of them are buying them up and simply selling them to other folks who want to live in the city, leasing to own. We are also partnering with the Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority to look at ways that we can demolish or deconstruct homes that cannot be rehabilitated so that we can make areas safer, so that we can improve the appearance of areas and encourage other people to invest in remaining structures or even to build in our city.
On the crime front, you've got an initiative going on with U.S. Marshals to try and, what you said, you've still got issues with crime. Lots of cities do. Gary, tough one on the murder rate you talked in your State of the City address about, that 1% of the city, violent criminals, kind of plaguing everybody else. You want to be on top of them. You want to know what they're up to, including requiring, if I understand it correctly, convenience stores and gas stations to have video surveillance cameras on every night from 10 p.m. on everywhere. How's that going?
That is actually in its early stages. The theory is that really less than 1% of the population are committing most of the crimes. I think that if we are able to focus on the top 100 to 200 offenders, those who are on probation and parole, those who have a history of violent criminal activity, then we would see a drastic reduction in crime. And when I say focus on them, I'm not talking about harassing people. I'm not talking about violating anyone's constitutional right. It's an effort to catch them doing the right thing and to support them in that, and to, when they are engaged in activity that they shouldn't be engaged in, to catch them doing the wrong thing and to address it right away before it creates a problem for the community. The other aspect of that is to really look at the places where we see a lot of criminal activity. A lot of that activity occurs at convenience stores, gas stations that are open 24 hours, that may have hours that show that they are open into the wee hours of the morning. And to the extent that that is true, then we want them to have surveillance cameras on so that we can use that as a detection and investigative tool.
You know, you talked about the 45% unemployment rate among Gary's young man included. What do you say to a young man facing that kind of unemployment rate? How do you stay on the straight and narrow when the job just isn't there?
That's when you have to create jobs. And that's why we're focused on job creation at the airport, on job creation in other sectors. We just had a major truck stop, a TA Petro site to open. And 80% of those jobs at that new site went to Gary residents.
Listen, that's great. And I get it. But the unemployment rate right now, you say, is as high as 45% maybe. And I get the vision and we support you and it's great. But when you talk with the young men in your city today, right now, what do you tell them to keep them from, you know, just doing whatever they have to find a buck somewhere?
Right now, there's a significant vacancy in truck driving jobs. So I tell them, go get your CDL. We'll help mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is targeting those industries that need employees right now as we speak. The building trades need employees as we speak. Trucking industry needs employees as we speak. Railroads need employees as we speak. And we're targeting those industries through employment, through training, through partnership to help these young men make good decisions.
Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson is with us, mayor of Gary, Indiana. Mike in Madison, Wisconsin, thanks for calling. You're on the air with the mayor.
Hi, Mayor and Tom.
Hi.
Good morning.
I'm from Wisconsin, and actually the southern part of Wisconsin. And I heard last year and years before, like the northern part of Wisconsin is heavily into tourism, and the western part is heavily into tourism, Wisconsin-Dells area.
Mm-hmm.
And these areas of Wisconsin have programs where they get youth from Russia. The northern part goes, flies in people from Russia, and Wisconsin-Dells flies in youth from Central America. And I was telling somebody, well, why don't these places try to get some people from Wisconsin, particularly Milwaukee and Madison, where there's areas where there people are crying for jobs, even just seasonal jobs? And I asked the question, of course, and the answer, I mean, you can guess it. I'd rather not say it on the air, but
Spell it out, Mike. I'm not sure where you're going here. What's the problem?
They're discriminating. They have that fear against the black Americans in the central city. They are not going to get those people because they don't trust them.
It's a racial issue with their own countrymen, you're saying.
Yeah, the own state that has problems. Rather than use fossil fuels to bring in all these people by airplane who, you know, the job just goes, and then they fly them back.
Yeah. You know? Mike, you make a point in a very keen way. Mayor Freeman Wilson, what about it? Go to Russia to find people for those jobs. Why not to Milwaukee or to Gary?
You know, one of the things that I constantly remind not just the city of Gary, but all of Northwest Indiana about is our need to confront the issue of race. No one wants to talk about it. People think we're in a post-racial society because we have an African-American president. But the reality is that people still harbor fear, ignorance, all of the other negative things that come with a lack of understanding about race. And until you sit down and understand that people are more alike than we are different. We all want our children to get good educations. We all want to be safe. We all want to honor our elders, and that the overwhelming majority of people want the same things. And when we focus on those common goals and a common understanding, then it makes us less likely to address those outward differences, our race, our gender, our sexual orientation, our disabilities that we have.
Do young men of color in your city, in Gary, you must sit down with them, you must know them very well. Do you find them wondering if their country cares for them? The president was kind of saying, look, we can't just take this as inevitable. We can't write off this population of Americans. Do young men of color in your town wonder if they are written off?
You know, I actually have a very unique perspective in that for 25 years before taking office, I defended a young men of color as a public defense lawyer, mm-hmm. as a public defender, as a private attorney. And you're absolutely right, Tom. They do wonder sometimes whether anyone cares when they are released from prison and they've served their time, they've paid their debt, and I put that in quotes, to society, you know, they say to me, you know, I'm looking for a job. They used to call me Freeman. Freeman, I'm looking for a job. Can you help me? And they say it now. We are looking for gainful legal employment because I don't want to get back in trouble. I don't want to go back to the same thing. And that's where the private sector comes in. That's where industry comes. They have to take a chance on someone that they believe is not worthy or deserving of a chance. But, you know, I'll tell you, you'll find some of the best minds, some of the most entrepreneurial spirit among these young men, just like you do in other sectors. And what we're simply saying, what the president is simply saying, give them a chance.
Is Gary ready? If there's some captain of industry listening right now, and, you know, his heart is touched by your challenge and what these kids are up against, but he's also thinking about the bottom line. If I go in there, what will happen? Can I, you know, can I drive out of my plant after dark? Can I, you know, all of that stuff. Is Gary ready?
Absolutely. And what I challenge people, and I spent a lot of time during my career in, involved with drug treatment courts. And what I always used to say is, if you give individuals a chance who have had a hard time because of matters that may or may not be in their control, you will not find a harder working group, a more dedicated group, a more loyal group to your business, to your industry. And you'll be able to tell a success story that starts with your bottom line, but ends with the improved and transformed lives of your employees.
Carol in Calumet, Michigan. Carol, thanks for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I grew up in Gary and during the 40s and 50s, and I guess I would say that that was in, you know, the best of all perfect worlds and the worst.
Different time. It was booming and it was white.
That's correct. And Gary enjoyed some of the best education in the country. But it was a split community. Even though our schools were wonderful, it was still a split community. And that probably transformed my life more than anything.
You mean split racially, economically? How, Carol?
Racially and economically.
Yeah, yeah.
But racially mostly because even the African-American members of the community in those days were working for U.S. Steel, and they were probably making a decent wage, but it was still a very split community. The schools were wonderful schools. My dad was responsible for, with the then superintendent of schools, Vincent DePasquale, in introducing the very first federal aid education bill when the school started crumbling and we had no money to come into the city.
So what do you think of Karen Freeman Wilson's challenge now?
Oh, I absolutely applaud. And in a way, I wish I were back there in my my early 70s to help the effort. The whole issue of My Brother's Keeper is very exciting. I have a mixed race family, and my daughter works in the same area that the mayor is working in right now, in another city in North Midwest community. If the mayor can bring new business and bring jobs to the young men and women in that community, that's the only thing that's going to save the town.
Carol, thank you so much. Mayor, there's a voice from the past applauding your future, rooting for your future. In the State of the Union speech, when you told your fellow townspeople there, city folks, that you know, there are days when the job literally brings you to your knees, what were you talking about?
I was really talking about the impact of seeing how crime affects families, how a mother has to go into an emergency room and identify her dead son, how a mother...
Mayor Freeman Wilson, sounds like we lost the line for just a moment there. Here's that, let's listen, I've got just a little bit. This is that line from her speech. This is the State of the City speech. Gary Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson with that line.
The truth of the matter is that there are some days that this job brings me to my knees.
And one can only imagine how true that is. We've lost our line to Chicago for a moment here. And the mayor of Gary, Indiana, But you hear her, her plans for airport, her plans for rebuilding, and also the challenges that she is up against, hoping for the president's call in My Brother's Keeper to maybe turn some heads, maybe bring some business. What's the first thing you'd like to see, Madam Mayor, if you could have it come through your door today, the letter, the person, the opportunity, what would it be?
It would be an investment in a willing partner, another willing partner in business. We have NIPSCO, we have Majestic Star, we have TA Petro. It would be great to have an opportunity to build infrastructure in the city of Gary, and in so doing to employ so many of the young men that the president talked about in announcing My Brother's Keeper.
You'd like that airport in Gary, just 40 minutes from Chicago. O'Hare gets backed up, Midway gets backed up. You'd like to be a third way into that major metropolitan area.
Absolutely. We are already a part of the Chicago Aviation Authority Compact. And to the extent that we have a private partner that is investing, is working with us, certainly to have some support, some additional support from Washington and the creation of infrastructure would be great.
Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson, we wish the best for the young men, the young women of your community, and for you. It's a big challenge. We wish you luck with it. Thank you very much for your insights and spending a little time with us today.
Thanks so much, Tom. I enjoyed you and your audience.
Karen Freeman Wilson, mayor of Gary, Indiana. That's a job. We wish her well with it. Listeners, thanks for joining us. You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.